What up, what up, what up, everybody? This is the Ultimate Patriots Doctor Football Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Dennis Tien, recording tonight remote from my real live medical office in Dedham, Massachusetts. Joining me always, the CEO of Hedgebetter, Justin Fine. Justin, my man, what is going on? You ready to talk some Patriots?
Ready to talk some Patriots. We got a new era upon us, Dennis, the Drake May era.
The Drake May era is upon us. And a new era for our podcast. We're going to record two separate episodes tonight. We're going to do the Patriots episode, and then we're going to do the Around the League episode. So for our listeners out there, you're going to see two separate episodes drop. But the big news, you hit on it, isn't that. It is the Drake May episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Exciting this past week. And, you know, it was a whole new, I think, feeling to this team, just having them come in there with a new starting quarterback.
Well, I was in the stadium.
Yeah.
And it was a totally, totally different buzz leading up to kickoff. And then things didn't go so well.
No.
In the first half, obviously. When Drake May threw that touchdown pass right before half, the top blew off that place.
Oh, I can only imagine. I mean, that was a beauty of a throw. Like, it was right on the money. And that was exactly what they needed at that point in time.
Dudes were like hugging. Dudes were high-fiving other dudes. It was like bedlam and chaos in the halls of Gillette Stadium. I'm like, we're still down, you know, 14-7. We're still 1-5. People were just like jubilant over that pass. And I'm not exaggerating. Anyone was there, I'm sure, felt the same thing.
Absolutely. I mean, I can only imagine how it was in person, because watching it, it was electric. That was kind of the first time during the Drake May short-lived career so far that, you know, you looked and you said, wow, okay, I'm seeing something.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it. Like, when in the whole Mac Jones era have we seen a pass like that? And I would say never. I mean, I don't think that's a pass Mac Jones is like physically capable of throwing. So you see the guy and the talent that he has, and it's just like a huge catharsis. You're like, wow.
Exactly. Just need to kind of get him up and running, up to speed. You know, obviously it wasn't all perfect, but I think it was a great wave of optimism after that first game that we may be on the right track.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to get into all that tonight. We got a great roster of topics, both for the Pats and for around the league. We're going to get into this game with on Sunday against the Texans. We're going to break that down. We're going to look ahead to Jacksonville last week, and we're going to talk a lot about what's going on with this organization. And of course, we are going to start with the kickoff. That is the opening take to set the table for the podcast, Justin. And it should be no surprise to anyone, the biggest story in Patriots Nation is Drake May's first start. That is where we are going to begin tonight. And I think I'm going to give my review of what I liked and what I didn't like, frankly, about what I saw from Drake May on Sunday, and I want you to do the same. Let's just get right to it. What I liked about Drake May, a couple things that I thought reading between the lines that I thought were just great things to see. Number one was, I liked his resiliency, Justin. I liked that he had a really slow start and he didn't crack. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Mac Jones for the last 3 years. How many times did Mac Jones hit adversity and he fell apart? It was great to see a guy come in there, things go really poorly in the first half, and he was able to withstand it. I like the toughness. I thought he got hit and what didn't affect him. I like the football IQ. I thought the times he did have some time in the pocket, he was able to make reads and progressions and look like he was in command. He was explosive. I love that. We haven't seen playmaking like that for Mac Jones ever. He showed next level ball placement at times. I mean, that throw to Pop Douglas over the middle was unbelievable. And most importantly, Justin, I think this is the most important thing, we've been talking about this all offseason, he elevated this team.
Yeah.
And the players around him were considerably better because of his presence out there. It was obvious and unmistakable. The receivers were a little better. The line was a little better. The offense was better. The team was better. That's what I liked about Drake May, Justin. What are your thoughts on the positives from Sunday?
Well, there's no doubt that this was a whole new look offense, I think, with Drake May in there. I correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't actually look this up, but I'm pretty sure what Jacoby Brissett had 2 or 3 touchdowns total.
Two total. In 5 games.
So you go from throwing 2 touchdowns over the course of 5 games to your rookie coming in and throwing 3 in his debut. And it just, everything just looked and felt different. Like like you said, the receivers looked a little different. The line looked a little bit different. Like, you can't deny Drake May has some athleticism, mobility. Like, that was a dimension to the game that we didn't see out of Jacoby Brissett. I mean, all in all, it just really, like you said, it seemed like he elevated his team in a way that we were really looking to see from Jacoby Brissett for the first 5 games that we never saw. And then to your point about the resiliency, that beginning of the game was tough. Like, your defense gave up 2 straight touchdowns on the opening drive. I mean, you had to punt the ball away almost immediately both times. You were almost thinking that, oh boy, here we go. Like, this game could end up like 40-3 type of thing. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was how that game started. And obviously, you know, they still got beaten, you know, pretty handedly. But the fact that they were able to make it slightly competitive, they were able to score, they were able to give us a reason to be excited. That was everything. That was everything for this organization.
I mean, yes. And they scored 3 times to get back within 2 scores, or, you know, they were down 2-3 scores multiple times.
Right.
And they kept scoring to make it competitive.
Right.
And if they had been able to get a stop at some point on defense, who knows? Maybe they would have been able to make it a game the way they were moving the ball in the second half.
Exactly. So, I mean, look, that it's, you know, it's actually kind of funny because, you know, we've talked about for so long how, you know, this team, their defense is their backbone, and that's what they, you know, that's what they could kind of rely on. And it was just waiting for the offense to round into form. And I almost like had a complete reverse of thought last week when I was watching. I was going, wow, this offense is going to be pretty good soon. And their defense is what's giving me pause for concern, because their defense can't make a stop. Their offense is scoring with the, you know, once they settled in, they were scoring with the Texans, but they couldn't get a stop.
No question about that. And I would go so far to say, if Drake May didn't play this game, you say that it felt like they might've lost 40-3 at the start of that game. They would have lost this game 40-3 if Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback. It was really May and his playmaking ability that kept them hanging around in this game. And, you know, the other thing I loved about it that I didn't mention too, and I do want to mention this, is the fact that May got better as the game went on, which I think really does argue why it's so important to get this guy experience, because you can't waste this opportunity to get Drake May on the field, improve his comfort level, get him some repetitions that he can get some actual acumen about how the game is played and reading defenses and calls to make. It was invaluable. And in one game, Justin, I felt like you saw progress. There are players that have entered this league that don't progress that much in 3 years.
Exactly. And it just, not to look back into the past, but, you know, it just makes it that much more frustrating, because, you know, if Drake May was your opening day starter in week 1, I mean, you know, you could be looking at a 500 ball club, and who knows where his progress could be at, you know, heading into week 7. Like, that's what's extra frustrating, is I feel like now with Drake May starting last week, that this team now has a chance to compete and win games and really make the most out of the second half of this season. And it's just a shame to think that they're already virtually out of the race for meaningful football, being 1-5. It's a tough pill to swallow, but, you know,
I think definitively what we can say from yesterday is that, maybe not. I mean, maybe you'll disagree with that, but I think we can say that, you know, the Don't Break Drake crew was kind of wrong for what they said. Like, this kid was ready to get out on the field. And to your point, if they had played him sooner, I guarantee you they'd at least have 2 wins, if not 3 wins right now. There's no question in my mind they would have beaten the Dolphins last week. And at 2-4, they would be very much still in it to have a respectable season versus 1-5. So there was really no reason that this guy wasn't in there right from week 1. And you know, it's really a shame that they didn't play him against the Dolphins, because you're right. Look at their schedule upcoming. They could have really at least had a respectable season this year.
100%. You know, I saw a stat that I believe if you start, I forget whether it was 1-4 or 1-5. I think it was 1-4, but teams who start the season 1-4 have something like less than a 3% chance of making the playoffs, right? And right. So you look at it and you say, okay, even if this team just got one more win under their belt, like you start them against Miami, you probably win that game. You're 2-3 heading into this week. The outlook for the entire season is different.
It's different.
Entire season is different. But you know what? And that's frustrating. And I think we can look back and definitively say that, you know, look, I know there was a debate, and I know, you know, we debated back and forth and what the correct answer to that was. But I think the correct answer now is becoming pretty clear. And that's that, you know, Drake May should have been the day one starter.
Absolutely. If not the day one starter, certainly at some point in September.
Yeah.
You know, there was just no reason, I think. And, you know, he could end up getting hurt next week and we may all look stupid and regret it. But I just feel like, again, you know, football is a violent sport. It's a dangerous sport. Anytime these guys step on the field, they might get hurt. This guy needs the reps. He needs to improve. It's what this whole season is about, is his curve. And that curve is just not going to happen if you don't put him out there on the field. And if you don't put him out there on the field, you're just kicking that all down the road to next year when things may not even necessarily be all that much better, right? Yeah. And you've done nothing to develop this player. You've wasted that opportunity. So for a lot of reasons, the sake of this season, the sake of his development, I mean, let's face it, this was the right thing to do to play him, and it really should have happened a few weeks ago, if not even from the start of the year.
Exactly. Yeah, totally agree.
I'll tell you another thing I will say about this, and we still got to talk about what we didn't like about May, but since we're on the topic, I also think we can definitively say, Justin, and this is something we've talked about a few times this year, is how badly the Patriots messed up this offseason. Because the way May is developing, and where he is right now as a quarterback, and there are a ton of kinks to work out. Clearly, let's not sugarcoat. This was not a polished performance from Drake May. It was a promising performance. There's a lot he needs to improve.
Yeah.
But where this kid is right now, there's absolutely no reason this team shouldn't have been respectable this season. And they really dropped the ball on building a roster this year that to support Drake May. And, you know, Elliott Wolf was asked this question in the summer. Did you build a team to support Drake May? He answered affirmatively. I think we can all call crap on that right now. They did not build a good enough team to support this kid. There is no reason this has to be a 1-15 or what, you know, 2-15 kind of season. That was really because they dropped the ball if they end up there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, you look at what the Bears did. You look at what the Commanders did. You look at what the Broncos did. I mean, they found ways to plug in their young rookie quarterbacks and compete. And I think it was a combination of, obviously, you know, look, there was a couple of big name free agents that we missed out on that we did go after, right? People that we tried to pursue, but ultimately, I think the team was a little too complacent. I think that's really what it came down to. I think that we maybe thought that the supporting cast was a little bit better. And I still kind of like some of the components of this team, but there's just so many glaring holes that no matter how good Drake May was this year, it was going to be tough for them to actually compete seriously.
Plus, they may have miscalculated how fast May would develop.
Yeah.
They may have been planning to hold him out later in the year or the entire year, but when he comes into training camp and the preseason and every practice, and he's clearly the best player on the roster, it gets really hard to pull that quote unquote plan, if they even had a plan, off. But maybe they underestimated, you know, just how ready this guy was. And maybe on some level they were almost like half punting on this year when they really didn't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
And no one's saying they were going to make the Super Bowl, but maybe, you know, a 7-8-9 win team, a competitive year.
Exactly. You know, look, I get it. This is the beginning of the Drake May era, but we went through the Cam Newton era. We went through the Mac Jones era. It's about time to get some results. You don't just start back at square one because you bring in Drake May. I mean, you got to produce something soon.
Well, the organization didn't have to, and they chose to. And that's the point. Like if this ends up being a 2-15 or a 3-14 type season, it is more because of a choice by the management of this team to go that route than the actual circumstances of drafting and developing the quarterback, or at least that's how it feels right now. And we'll see how this plays out over the rest of the season. But I just don't think it had to be this ugly. I don't think it had to be this bad.
I agree.
All right, let's talk a little, Justin, about what we didn't like from May, because as I said, it wasn't all perfect on Sunday. And obviously, I can tell you what I didn't like was the turnovers that he had. I mean, really, three turnovers, two interceptions, and a fumble. I think you could definitely argue the second interception was not his fault. That really did fall on the left tackle for not making his cut block. But the other two, not good. What I want to say about that is, for me, Justin, totally par for the course that Drake May was going to turn the ball over a couple times in this game. I completely expected it. It does not concern me at all that he turned the ball over a lot. I don't like it, but I think it was exactly what you would expect from a rookie coming in against this team with the team he had around them. Now, if he's still doing this in 2 to 3 years, this is going to be a major problem, right? You have to protect the ball. But I honestly think that, you know, that did I like the turnovers? No, I didn't like them. But I think they were totally predictable and expected, and I'm not worried about them yet.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's all part of the learning curve. I think he was going up. Look, it was very tough. You know, you come in midseason starting against one of the better defenses on your schedule. It's a tough situation to be in. I kind of expected that, it wouldn't be the smoothest start. If I'm being honest, he exceeded my expectations in his first start. Like, I thought that was going to be...
Give him a grade.
Yeah, give him a grade. I mean, you know, I'm going to give him a B+. I'm going to give him a B+. He's first rookie quarterback, I think, in... oh my God, since God knows when I was seeing that, led his team in rushing yards and in passing touchdowns, something like that, in his opening game as a rookie. I mean, he just really exceeded my expectations, to your point. And this is what we were talking about, you know, after that week one game in Cincinnati. And we said, you're playing it safe with Jacoby. Look, Drake May, he's going to have some careless throws. He's going to have a few bad turnovers. He's going to make some rookie mistakes, right? That's what rookies do. But overall, he definitely exceeded my expectations in the positives, enough that it really made me not care so much about some of the negatives.
Yeah, overall, I'd give him a B-, but if I was grading on a curve, and I mean like consideration of the team he was playing against and the team he was playing with, I'd even probably go so far as to say like an A-. He totally exceeded my expectations in so many ways. I just think against that team, it could have been so much worse.
It could have easily been so much worse, especially like we said, you know, you start off the game, the defense looks like they're not going to be able to make a stop. Your offense is looking tough. To really kind of step in and start to find a rhythm and build strength and confidence as the game went on, I mean, that was huge. That showed a lot of poise and a lot of resiliency.
All right. So overall, our review of Drake May on the first performance is we're both pretty pleased. What I think you can say definitively, Justin, and I think this is meaningful, is that he's not Trey Lance. Correct. He's not Zach Wilson. He's not Brock Osweiler. He's not Jamarcus Russell. I could keep going, right? Because half these kids drafted in the first round literally never even belong on an NFL field. I mean, so many of these first-round quarterbacks are complete and total washouts, and I don't think he's that. Now, he might be Mac Jones or RG3 or Mitch Trubisky, guys that show flashes success and promise, and end up not sustaining it or regressing. We don't know. There is a long way to go, but I think we can both agree we're both super encouraged by what we saw from Drake May on Sunday.
Yeah, very encouraged. I think you got somebody good to start to build around and continue to plug the holes.
And one more little side thought about this before we move on. I can't believe how many fans are like upset that he turned the ball over or questioning the decision to play him because he had a few bad plays. And it just makes me realize how spoiled New England fans are, because you're taking a rookie quarterback in his first start and you're holding to them to the standard of being completely polished. It's insane.
Super insane. I mean, look, like I think like we both said, you expect rookies to make rookie mistakes. It's what does the potential look like? And the potential was definitely there.
Absolutely. All right. Let's move on to the coaching, because I think that's the other big story here is the coaching of this team. And we hit on this last week, but it continues to show we are so focused on Drake May that I think we're really missing a little bit about how bad it's been for Gerard Mayo and Alex Van Pelt. And what the Drake May situation was really a microcosm for, in my opinion, is the fact that Mayo and Van Pelt, it does not feel to me, Justin, like they're on the same page. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that situation, that dynamic between Van Pelt and Mayo, but it just feels like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like they're well coached. It doesn't feel like the coaches are on the same page. There was a lot wrong on Sunday. 9 penalties, 4 turnovers. I saw absolutely no innovation out there in the play calling. Didn't think they were organized. There's discord in the locker room. They've lost 5 in a row. I think the whole May thing has distracted us from some of the problems on the coaches so far.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mayo obviously hasn't been perfect. When it comes to Van Pelt, you know, I kind of forgot about this. I remembered hearing about it, you know, earlier in the season or near the end of the offseason, and it just kind of slipped my mind. But Van Pelt was something like the 9th coordinator that we that we brought in and interviewed, right?
That's correct.
And 8 other guys either saying no, thank you, or accepting a job somewhere else, or some large number to that effect. I mean, when you do that, when that's how the reality of the situation plays out, you can't tell me that Gerard Mayo was sitting there pleased to have this guy in the room. You know, Gerard probably didn't pick him. You know, it wasn't one of his first choices. He's probably sitting there going, you know, I have to overcome for the fact that we have an OC in the building that really shouldn't be here. And we didn't really want him here. We kind of brought him here out of necessity. So I think that's the first place to look at. I mean, that is super concerning to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, Justin, I mean, I think part of it too is the Patriots painted themselves into a corner with the hiring of Gerard Mayo, because, you know, the challenge for this franchise of getting one of these young, brilliant offensive minds to come in here when you don't have a lot of building blocks, the only way you're going to get one of those guys is if you make them the head coach and you give them an opportunity that no one else was going to give them. I don't know, Nick Caley, Ben Johnson, you pay them a boatload of money and you give them the title. You give them the opportunity. When they brought in Mayo, now you're having to sift through the remaining guys that are willing to come here. And I'm sorry, you look at what the situation was here. I'm sure it didn't help the Patriots at all.
No. I can totally understand that. You know, you got to look at everything in its totality. And an OC comes in and says, you know, I got a rookie quarterback. I got an unproven rookie head coach. I got a franchise that's been in the decline the last couple of years. Yeah, it's not the most appealing job in the world. Definitely not. So, you know, we took what we could get. Now it's up to this organization to prove that this is a place that OCs want to come to coach.
1 to 10 right now. What's your concern level with Gerard Mayo?
6.
Yeah.
6.
Yeah, I'm about there. I'd say seven. I'm starting to get concerned.
I mean, I'm slightly on the concerned side of neutral. That's how I'd put it.
Yeah, I'm moving up the ladder. Yeah. I'm moving up the ladder just based on what I see the last couple weeks. Is there any chance, Justin, that if this really falls apart this year, is there any chance they move on from Mayo this offseason?
Boy, that would be, you know, I've heard some people say that. I don't, that would be a pretty interesting move. I mean, God knows there's plenty of there's gonna there already is, but there's going to be plenty of coaches out there that I'm sure we would welcome into New England. But you know what? You force Bill Belichick out. You hold this press conference touting how, you know, it was more than just this was a religious and a spiritual and experience, and you know, you presented it as like this divine pathway that was set up for Gerard Mayo to come in and take over as the head coach of the New England Patriots. I don't think you can get rid of that guy after 1 year. I don't know. That would be a bold.
It would be a horrible look for the organization.
Really,
you would have to really. It would have, first of all, it would have to be an abject disaster this year.
Yeah.
You might have to have like some kind of off the field thing, like, you know, that happened crazy to justify it. And then you'd really have to love the next guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, I'm sure there's a couple of good guys that are out there.
Justin, I look at what Ben Johnson is doing in Detroit, and I look at what Drake May showed me yesterday, and I'm like, get me that guy at any cost. Get me that guy. It's probably never going to happen because they painted themselves in the corner and Gerard Mayo. But oh man, if they could bring in Ben Johnson, and they have a really bad year this year, I don't know. I'd think about it if I were them.
I would say it would definitely be a groundbreaking move. I think it would have to be something that was done delicately and not hastily, but if you had the right guy to come in and replace him, I think it would show a lot of stones, and it would show a willingness to get as better as you can, as quick as you can. So I would respect that if they did it the right way.
Yeah. And who knows, you know, like after a 1-16 year, a 2-15 year, if that's what this devolves into, you know, where's Gerard Mayo going to be? Maybe he's going to say, you know what? I jumped too soon. I need to get back to being a coordinator and putting in some dues before I try this again. I don't know. I mean, you wonder if this really goes south, how everyone's going to react to another year like that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, his leash, I think, in New England, I don't know if a lot of people are talking about it, but I think it's shorter than who knows, or at least in the fans' eyes, a lot shorter than people might think. Oh, Dennis, you're muted. There we go.
The crafts seem like they're so invested in Gerard Mayo, and they've made such a commitment. I mean, you're right. It's like hard to imagine any situation where they, like, no matter how bad this gets, unless there's some like crazy extenuating circumstance, that they would ever move on from him. But I'm going to just say, too, other side of the coin, there have been guys that have been hired, gotten 1 year. It's been an abject disaster, and the franchises move on. I mean, look at Urban Meyer is a recent example. The guy in Arizona, was it Wilkes a few years ago? There was a guy in Denver, I think Vance Johnson. So it's happened before that if it's really that bad, that a team moves on from a guy after 1 year. And let's hope it doesn't get there, but.
Correct. Right. Exactly. Let's hope it doesn't get there. But you know what? If it does, hey, I mean, as long as it's done the right way, we could potentially salvage it.
Because, you know, like I was watching the game on Sunday and one name popped into my head as I'm watching May and the way he exceeded my expectations of talent. And that is Archie Manning. Do you know Peyton Manning's dad?
Yeah.
New Orleans Saints, sort of the archetypal example of a really good quarterback on a really bad franchise and a really bad team that never won anything. And I'm like, you know, just because you hit on the quarterback, there are so many other things this team needs, both on the field and in terms of the coaching, before they're going to get back to that level. You know, I don't know. I don't know if Mayo is the guy. I guess we're going to see.
Yeah, we will see. We will 100% see. And I mean, look, I'm still rooting for Gerard Mayo. I'm still rooting for the guy. You know what I mean?
I'm rooting for him.
I want it to work out, you know?
He's a great guy. I mean, I'd love it for him to work out. I just know from life in general how valuable experience is, you know? And like, experience is when you're in these high-level situations, you know, if you're a surgeon, you need to have experience being a surgeon. You can't just walk in on the first day and start operating. That's not how it works in anything in life. You know, you to be a financial planner, you need to put in a certain amount of apprenticeship and pass a test. And I just feel like Mayo cut so many steps. He cut so many corners. That is what makes me just so worried about him in his future with this franchise.
Yeah, he did. He cut a lot of corners. But I mean, look, it's not too dissimilar to the D'Amico Ryan situation down in Houston, right? So it's not that there isn't a precedent for this working. It's just a lot more reason for concern, and I think justifiably so.
That's the name everybody brings up, D'Amico Ryan's. But look at D'Amico Ryan's resume versus Gerard Mayo. He had twice as much coaching experience, 9 years versus 5 years, so almost twice as much. And he was a defensive coordinator, I think, for 3 or 4 seasons. So, you know, that's a big difference than what you're hiring Mayo, who is basically a linebackers coach / assistant DC that, from all we know, didn't even have the play calling ability while he was here, because that was Steve Belichick. Not trying to like rain on the parade, just saying.
Yeah, no, you're right. You are right.
All right, let's move on to the next topic. I do want to talk a little bit about the game Sunday, Justin. And for all the talk of Drake May, we're all worried about the offensive line. My observation, that was not even the biggest problem by any means.
Yeah.
Either one on the field Sunday. The biggest problem on this team was this defense. And I think that you have to be rightfully concerned about this defense. We know they're injured. They've been decimated by injury. And I'm not saying it's fair, but I'm really concerned that they're just so far into their depth chart right now that they will not be able to be a even respectable defense for the remaining 11 games.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, it's really tough. I mean, look, the defense, they've lost so much. You know, Kyle Duggar just got back. He was banged up, but Jabril Peppers going to be gone. Juwan Bentley gone. Matthew Judon gone. Christian Barmore gone. I mean, you lose all these guys. It's really tough to see a world where this defense is able to repeat their performance last year. They're in a tough spot. They're in a really tough spot now because they do have some good young players. I like Christian Gonzalez. I like Keon White. I like some of these guys that they got. But there are holes, and there are way more holes, I think, right now than even just coming into this offseason.
Yeah, they're going to have a really hard time stopping the run, I think, for the rest of the year, unless some of these guys really develop. Their linebackers are decimated. I think they're a huge problem. I think Juwan Bentley was a much bigger loss than any of us gave it credit for. He was their run-stuffing guy, and without him, it just leaves a gaping hole on the defense, and you saw it on Sunday. This team is really struggling right now just to stop the run. Teams are going to run on them right now. I mean, there's no need to really – To really put the ball in the air that much, because they're showing they can't stop the run.
Yeah, I agree. I will say for the second week in a row, I think that Marty Mapu kid looked pretty good.
Yes, agreed. He looked good. He looked good. And I'll give you another positive. I mean, again, I'm happy to be to take back my take, but Christian Gonzalez, I think, continues to show well this year, and I really am starting to develop confidence that okay, I'm not putting him in that elite category that a lot of Patriots fans prematurely did this offseason. But I mean, he's looking like he could be a Pro Bowl caliber player at the very least right now.
Yeah. And I agree. And that's really what we need. We need him to continue to grow and stepping up. But I've been pretty happy with him so far.
No question about it. Jalen Polk, 2 huge drops on Sunday.
Yeah.
Jalen Polk is making me nervous. Let's not forget, Justin, Jalen Polk was basically a first-round pick or close to it. I know they traded back a little, but they had the opportunity at the top of the second round to basically have a second first-round pick this year.
Yeah.
And they passed that opportunity. You look at the gaping hole they have at tackle. They could have taken a tackle with that pick. They could have traded up and gotten one of those wide receivers. You really needed to hit on that second pick because you had so many holes, and the way this guy has come out this year is making me very nervous.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he still has to settle in and start stepping up and making plays. I'm, I'm still willing to give him more of a chance because, look, that's his first game with Drake May. I need to see more with all these weapons in Drake May. I get it. It was a tough first showing for him, no doubt about it. Or a tough showing for him with Drake May in this first game. But I need to see a little bit more because the same way that we saw Pop Douglas look a hell of a whole lot better, right? Maybe it's just going to take a couple of games to extend to some of the rest of the weapons on that offense. I mean, Pop Douglas looked better. Hunter Henry looked better, right? Maybe, you know, over the next couple of games, we start to see Jalen Polk elevate, right? Like maybe he gets his big play like Kayshon Booty got. I want to give it a couple of games for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely premature to make any judgments on Jalen Polk. I totally acknowledge that. But, you know, again, the way receivers come into the league these days, and it's like so many of them hit the ground running and at least make some kind of impact.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy has done nothing. Now, let's be fair. Jacoby Brissett was his quarterback for 5 games. I don't think you can blame any receiver for not being productive in the circumstances that they had. It was 1 game with May. It was a tough start. We need to see more. I'm hoping that Polk will develop, but I will say if it was a swing and a miss again, that was a pretty big whiff. To miss again on another second round receiver.
Oh, it would be awful if he continues to disappoint. But you know, because like you said, we did trade back for it. There were still a lot of good players available on the board. I'm gonna give him a little bit more time to develop and grow with Drake May. I actually do kind of like Jalen Polk. I like his attitude. I like his play style. I think he just needs to settle in a little bit more on the field. Get a little bit more comfortable.
Well, let's see. Let's hope for better things this week against a terrible Jacksonville defense.
Yeah.
All right, Justin, we're going to take a look ahead at the Jacksonville Patriots game in London this Sunday. But before we do that, it is time for the always exciting, always anticipated best segment on the show, the non-football topic of the week. Are you ready, my man?
I am ready. Let's do it.
Okay. Today's non-football topic of the week, Justin. What kind of car does someone drive that makes you know automatically that that person is, in fact, a toolbag?
Okay. So there's a lot of options that we could go with there. There are a ton. I would say for me, all right, can I give you two? Can I give you a split?
Yeah, of course.
A split.
Course.
Okay. I'm going to give you a split answer here. All right. I would say whenever you see like a Toyota Scion with like a body kit in like the blacked out windows,
yep.
you know, there's probably a tool bag driving that car. And then the other one that, I think sometimes you got to be tasteful with it is sometimes you see these dudes in their pickup trucks and they're just lifted to the high heavens, right? And just tricked out to the high heavens. And I'm like, look, I get it, a nice truck, very nice, but that's a tool. That's a tool mobile right there.
Well, where are you? Are you in Wyoming?
Right.
Because maybe if you're in Wyoming, it makes sense, but we're in greater Boston. This is like the most densely populated, you know, suburban, urban area in the world from Boston to DC. Do you really need the truck lifted up on the giant tires around here?
Exactly. Exactly. Whenever I see that, I'm like, what is the goal here? What is the end goal?
Instant tool bag status, 100%. Yep. Couldn't agree more. You see those guys, they drive like absolute savages. Yep. First of all, every single one of them, they think this is like the demolition derby on Route 95.
Yeah.
And it is guaranteed tool bag status if you have that. Couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mine is, Justin, the Jeep Wrangler. What are we doing? What are we doing with the Jeep Wrangler here? Like, what are you, why do you need a Jeep if you live in like suburban Boston? Or, you know, why do you need a Jeep? You're not going off-roading. You're driving on the highway. They're dangerous. They get terrible gas mileage. They are boxy and ugly. They serve no rational, functional purpose in the world to drive a Jeep. Unless you're, you know, in Omaha or something, Idaho, whatever, different story. But around here, no purpose functionally. And yet people somehow have been brainwashed into thinking this expensive, dangerous, functionally useless car is cool, or it's Jeep life. And it is just so infuriating to me. Get a life, get a friggin' Nissan or a Toyota like the rest of us, accept the realities of adult life, get an adult car, a useful car, and join the real world, please.
Yeah, especially, you know, you see some of them, they take the doors off, you know, the roof, and they're just driving and basically just, you know, it almost looks like a Flintstones car, just nothing around it, you know, down the road, you know, their flip-flops hanging out the side. It's like, dude, you are not on the beach right now. You were driving on the highway. Pay attention.
Yeah, you get like 2 weeks a year of warm weather here, and let's cool it with the beach life shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, now, what's up with all the ducks? I've seen the Jeeps with the ducks on the front. I don't even know what that's about. Do you know what that's about?
So, as a non-Jeep owner, I think I've been shunned. I have no clue. I have no clue what it's about. But
it's probably like some like charity for like kids with cancer. I'm going to sound like an ass by calling it out. But I have to say, I've noticed it.
Yeah.
And I think it's super obnoxious. So, if it's some charity, like, don't hate on me, world. But I am just saying, like, what's up with these rubber ducks on your door? I mean, as if it couldn't get any more pretentious.
Oh, so super pretentious. And you know, there's a Jeep Wrangler wave, right? There's a Jeep wave.
I didn't even know that. What is that?
It's a regular wave, but you're supposed to, you know, you get your hand on the steering wheel. Yeah. You're supposed to toss a wave to fellow Jeep goers as they come by you. Yeah.
It's brainwashing. It's brainwashing. The car is functionally useless, people. Don't believe the hype on the Jeeps. I'm telling you, you know, it is just a load of crap.
Yeah.
I said it.
I agree.
All right. Any other ones you want to add? I mean, you could go on forever. You got like Mustangs, you know, I have a lot of friends that drive these cars too. So hopefully none of them are listening because they're all be pissed at me. You know, you can go Mustangs. How about the Prius? Isn't that a little, there's a whole thing there, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it depends on who's driving the Prius, right? Like, I think the Prius suits some people. I think it suits some people. It suits their personality. It suits, you know, suits their identity. Some people, you know, I see them in a Prius. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right. You know? Like, if you're driving a Prius and then you fly to like California six times a year, guess what? You're a hypocrite. There's no point
exactly
in driving a Prius if you're flying all over America.
Yeah.
You know, your carbon footprint is like literally hundreds of fold higher from the flying, exactly, regardless of what kind of car you drive.
Yep. So, couldn't agree more.
Yeah. But the Prius has like, it's all like connotation to it, but at least the Prius people, say what you will about them, at least they're like good natured, like, okay, we're trying to save the earth.
Right.
You know, they usually don't drive like complete maniacs. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
I can kind of live with the Prius people.
I can. They're not on the top of my list. Let's put it that way.
Agreed. All right. Well, that was a good non-football topic of the week. Let's move on now to taking a look at this Patriots Jacksonville game next week. And just a quick peek before we even get into the game, just the rest of the year. Are your expectations changed now for this team, now that we've seen Drake May? I mean, where do you think this team lands in terms of win total at this point? We've kind of yo-yoed back and forth. We were trending under before the year. They beat the Bengals. We were both like, you know, they're going to win six or seven games. What I saw the last 4 or 5 weeks, I went back the other way. I'm like, they'll be lucky to get to five. Now with May, who knows?
Yeah, I think they could get themselves to potentially 5 or 6 wins. I don't think that's out of the question at all.
Yeah.
Hit that over in the 4.5 line that Vegas had set for them. I think 5 or 6 wins is still doable for them.
I think with Brissett as quarterback, they were on the fast track to like three wins. And I think the under was pretty much a guarantee.
Yes.
Now with May playing, they're going to win a few games, especially if he improves as the year goes on. Later in the year, they might even be a tough out if he continues to progress. So I agree. I think, you know, I'm looking more around like a 5 or 6 as opposed to a 2 or 3.
I agree. Yeah, that's where I'm settling at.
Awesome. All right. Let's look at this game this week, Justin. What are your expectations? Patriots, Jaguars. I believe the Patriots, are they 4.5-point underdogs? Is that what I read somewhere? Do you want to look it up?
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, you looked that up.
Five and a half.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take the Patriots. My expectation, because I actually think this is a super, super winnable game for the Patriots.
Money line or points?
Well, I think the 5.5 is a great line for anyone who wants the points, but I'm going to take a money line. I think they win this game. I think the Jaguars are beyond saving. They are so bad. Trevor Lawrence is so bad. I mean, the guy, like, I can't even put it into words anymore. I have a visceral reaction to Trevor Lawrence. He is just such a bum. That entire team is in disarray. And I think Doug Peterson is going to be the fall guy that gets pinned with the blame.
No, there's no doubt about it. We're going to talk about this in the Around the League podcast, but you know, it's quite possible this could be Doug Peterson's last game as coach of the Jaguars. If the Jaguars lose this game and they lost to the Bears last week, we know the whole London stage is super huge to these NFL owners. It is quite possible that Doug Peterson gets fired on Sunday night or Monday morning if the Jaguars lose this game. And I agree with you 1,000% that that would be unjust to me. Like, he is the victim of Trevor Lawrence and a team, to me, in Jacksonville that looks like they don't believe in their quarterback. And I think that it just takes the wind out of that whole franchise's sails when you give a $250 million bag of cash to a guy that the guys in that locker room don't believe in. And I think that's a huge part of their problem.
It is a huge part of their problem. I mean, look.
But what do? You turn to Mac Jones?
I think you've backed yourself into a pretty tough place, as the Jaguars. That contract is a huge, huge hindrance. That entire team, I think, has given up. That defense has totally given up. I mean, there may be a couple of talented players on that defense, but they look like the worst defense in football right now. In the entire team, I think, just suffers from a culture problem. You know what really annoyed me the most is the end of the game when I think they brought Mac Jones in for the last drive or two, and they kept panning to Trevor Lawrence on the sideline. In his look, the look of a guy who was about to be 1-5, who had played absolutely awful. He's standing there so nonchalant. Yeah. He's joking around. He's, you know, cracking a couple smiles. I'm like, what is it going to take for people to realize that there's something wrong with Trevor Lawrence?
Absolutely agree with that. And he looks like a guy that doesn't care anymore.
He doesn't care. And Dennis, do you remember when, because look, we've been talking about this since he came into the league. Do you remember what I said that, what is it, 4 or 5 years ago in that podcast, which was that the biggest knock coming out of Trevor Lawrence, because he clearly checked all the boxes for the physical attributes in athleticism and talent. The biggest knock on Trevor Lawrence was that he didn't love football. He just didn't care. He didn't have that passion that you wanted to see. And I think that is 500% been proven true with this guy.
No question about it. It has absolutely been proven true. So on Sunday, I would love to see Mac Jones get in the game somehow, because I think that would be just an intriguing storyline. You know, for a team that's lacking in like entertainment value, that would be entertaining.
Oh, now that would be super entertaining. Mac Jones coming in against the Patriots. And not only that, but I think it would just help reinforce the narrative. Because look, if Mac Jones is in there, one of two things have happened. Either, you know, Trevor Lawrence has gotten hurt, or the Jaguars are getting like blown out again, which I think is less likely. But if they have to turn to Mac Jones for whatever reason, I think, again, it's just going to further the conversation that Trevor Lawrence is just – He's just the ultimate hindrance in this team, and that's where all the problems start.
If they have to turn to Mac Jones on Sunday against the Patriots, they might not be turning back to Trevor Lawrence until next year. Seriously. At least. Like, it might be a long-term kind of thing. So Justin, did the Patriots win this game Sunday? I hear a lot of people saying this is a winnable game. You know, I'm sure the Jaguars are looking at the Patriots and saying the exact same things.
Yeah.
two of the worst teams in the league, potentially two candidates to both get the number one pick if the season ended today. Can the Patriots get a win in London on Sunday?
Yes. I think they definitely can get a win in London. I think they will. I think they will get a win. I think the Jaguars now, they're going to be in London for 2 weeks. I think there's a ton of distractions over there. I think that team is so checked out from football now. And I think the Patriots have all the reasons in the world to be excited. With Drake May, this new look offense. I think the Patriots come into this game ready to go. And I think they win.
I've heard a lot of people say that they think it's an advantage that Jacksonville is staying in London for the week. And to me, I'm sorry, that's a huge disadvantage This is a 1-5 team that is completely mentally checked out. And you're giving all these guys a week in one of the best cities in the world with an infinite amount of things for them to do that have absolutely nothing to do with football. I really think it's better to be in the Patriots spot and just fly out there on Thursday and play the game on Sunday and fly home.
Absolutely. The Jaguars are on vacation. They are not worried. They are not worried about football. They do not care about the New England Patriots flying to Wembley or whatever it is next week. No.
Nope. They are trying to. They're going to the Tower of London and Big Ben and the British Museum, and that's I think what they're probably more focused on this week. Okay, buddy. Any more thoughts? We're going to wrap up the Patriots Ultimate Patriots podcast and move on to the Around the League podcast, but do you have any more thoughts on the Pats before we wrap this up, my man?
No, that's it. Just looking forward to seeing more Drake May and really would like them to go out and beat Trevor Lawrence and the Jags. That would do my heart good.
Hey, if they win this game at 2-5, they're not totally out of it yet either. Like this could become a respectable year.
For sure. It at least gives their next couple of weeks meaning.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy the game Sunday. We'll be back next week to record again and cover it all. Want to thank everyone that listened to this episode of the Ultimate Patriots Doctor Football Podcast. We will be recording an Around the League podcast as well. It'll drop right about the same time. So if you checked us out for this one, check us out for that one. And we will catch you next week, everyone. Have a great week.